just going to sit here and drink my, how do you say this word? Kombucha? How do you say that word? Kombucha?
Hippie juice. Well, hello, stranger.
Oh, so is that it? We're on?
It's recording. We're going. We're live. Well, we're not live, but we are recording. So I guess that's good.
Just in case you're worried, we are alive. Or at least we
are. Yeah, we are alive. Nothing bad has happened to us. We're just busy guys. I think you're probably busier than me. Or maybe not. I don't know. What's your day like?
I get up at 4 a.m. and I do a bunch of workout type related stuff. Some meditation. Then I go to work for 12 hours. So pretty busy.
Yeah, you got like one sentence in and I just realized how much busier you are than me. And now I feel bad, but here we are. We're finding a way to do it. So, you know, I'm going to tell you, Tim, I just got to say that good on you for doing this, to find the time to get back on the Reliable Narrators podcast and come back on with your busy day. Everyone, this is what you call suffering for your art. Tim Ebel, right here.
Oh, this isn't suffering. This is the fun part.
Well, I'm glad you still
I'm just going to sit here and drink my... How do you say this word? Kombucha? How do you say that word? Kombucha?
Hippie juice. It's hippie juice.
I'm going to drink one of those because, you know, no room in my life for alcohol right at the moment. But I'm going to lament the fact that I didn't get superpowers during the eclipse.
Nobody got superpowers during the eclipse. Did you see any of it?
No, totally missed it because it was cloudy.
That's too bad. It was something, I don't know. There was like one quarter of the moon in front of the sun where... we were observing from, and I got a couple pictures of it through my phone and my sunglasses. I held my sunglasses up in front of my phone, and I was able to get kind of a decent picture of it. But like I was saying, we didn't really get the full effect. But you know who did get the full effect, Tim?
Who?
Mexico. There was a man who was observing the eclipse and dipped his testicles in front of the camera.
Right.
And made it onto the news. It was, a full moon, a full bag eclipse. So I saw the video. You saw the video. I know you did. And I think a whole bunch of people in Mexico saw the video because it went live on TV. Mm-hmm. And we could probably date that guy just from the amount of sag that was there. Like, it was something else. But
well, if you think you'd have to get... you'd have to have enough sag to be able to get clearance for the camera or the phone behind the sack there for, I mean.
Well, it was hard to say.
If it was a tight package, it wouldn't have worked.
No, it would have been a lot. I think probably, you know, there would have been another celestial body come into the frame before the nuts. Maybe the moon, another moon, a closer moon, maybe a giant starfish. I don't know. Suicide Squad starfish, we'll say that. Yeah, there's that was the weird news thing. We like our weird news here with Reliable Narrators. I was, you know, I wanted to share, well, I did share this other story with you. You know, this is the time when maybe you're following other podcasts where they're talking about things like psychedelics. They're talking about MDMA. They're talking about DMT, ayahuasca, you know, and here we are. Talking about all that fine stuff, and there's people in Sierra Leone where they had to declare an emergency after addicts dig up graves to get high on a drug made from human bones. So I sent you this article, Tim, and because I'm a bad person, I didn't read the article. I just saw the salacious headline, and I decided that you had to see it too because I knew you'd appreciate it. So I guess we could kind of go through this right now if you're looking at it. I won't read the whole article. Which is in, I'm going to say where this is from, NDT World News. I don't even know if this is real. Okay, so it's a psychoactive drug crafted from human bones, leaving addicts in West African country of Sierra Leone digging up graves in order to get their fix. So they had to declare a national emergency, and police are guarding cemeteries there. What does it do? They call it Kush.
Is it straight up, or are they cutting it with something? Are they cutting it with mushrooms?
It's made from a variety of toxic substances, so it looks like they're one of the main ingredients is ground up human bone. So what else do they got in here? They're grinding up human bones. They're putting other stuff in it. They're calling it Kush. Now, I don't know. I'm hip to the kids and their marijuana culture, you know. I might have known a guy who was in that culture himself one day, and he heard a lot about this Kush, but I think the Kush that we have where we are, Tim, is fairly different from the Sierra Leone Kush. I don't think there's any bones in that.
Yeah. So they've been known, they've done various other things in that part of the world, such as you just don't want to be, I'm drawing a blank now. What does it mean when you have no skin pigment? What's the word for that?
Oh, like vitiligo? Like albino. Michael Jackson? Albino. Oh, okay.
So if you're albino, I know that those people have had a hard time over there because at different points in time in different countries, that was known to be, you know, good for medicine type purposes, right?
So they'd get you.
Yeah. So
and you're the medicine.
I believe so, yes.
Well, I had no idea. I had no idea. Well, whenever I see something like this, are you ever sitting there thinking, fuck, man, somebody had to think of this. How did they think of this? How did they find out that ground up human bones mixed with a bunch of other stuff is really awesome at getting you high? Now, it says that there's a lot of people dying there because of this stuff. I don't know if it's the human bones probably that's doing them in, but, you know, likely.
Well, are they mixing it with like what we used to call bath salts?
Well, the article doesn't say, which is kind of a bummer because, well, I shouldn't say it's a bummer.
Here, I found something about that albino thing. So it says, this is the title. In parts of Africa, people with albinism are hunted for their body parts. The latest victim, a 9-year-old boy. So this was a 2017 article. Yes, they're being hunted for their body parts. And I'm sure that's in Tanzania, Malawi, Mozambique. They're used in witchcraft rituals because of superstitions that they can bring riches, success, power, or sexual conquest, and they go after children for their body parts, etc. So if you're they've already got that kind of superstition going on there, it's not much of a stretch to think, well, if we just use regular bones and grind them up, you know, those got to be good for something too, right? I wouldn't think.
Well, I just don't know what to make any of this. You're really blowing my mind here. Okay, you and I have talked about this before, but people do get high on weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about one time. I can't remember what it was. Was it you who was telling me about people who chew electrical tape?
Yes, it was. For the glue. Apparently, and the glue can really mess you up.
Is that right? I don't want anyone to go out and... Yeah, we don't want to find out. Don't chew electrical tape thinking that it's going to get you high. I did know a guy one time. He was wearing respirators a lot at work. And he would take the alcohol cleaning wipes that you'd use to wipe out your respirator in between, you know, periods of wearing it. And he would take them and he would stuff them. He would take the filters off, his pink filters off that unscrew from the mask. And he would take the alcohol swabs and he would just stick one in there and just breathe that and get a little head rush while he was working. I'm not going to say what trade he was, but it kind of rhymed with, I'll say what it rhymes with. It rhymes with skinsulator.
I thought you were going to say taffelder.
No, that's too obvious. Or you know, you might even suspect this from one of these. It rhymes with Myron workers.
Oh yeah, Myron workers. If people were doing this over here, they'd be digging up bodies and mixing with fentanyl.
Yeah, right. I suppose there's. Yeah, you really want to stay away from.
And then people would be overdosing on the old bone powder.
I guess they would. Yeah, I don't think it's a bone. You know, reading through the article, I don't know that that's the bone powder that is the fatal ingredient. I want to say. But
yeah, that's just the gimmick.
It's what's going to get you in to read the article. And then you waste your time on it like you and I just did, because there's probably something a lot more toxic going in there than just human bones. But interesting thing to think about. There's someone out there huffing human bones. Urban legend time. And it's along the same wavelength. And I don't know. Are you a metalhead, Tim? Like your Black Sabbath, your Ozzy Osbourne and all that stuff. So there's a bunch of stuff around him, and I don't know if it's true or not. And maybe if you're listening, you could verify this. But, you know, you hear a lot of things about Ozzy Osbourne. He bit the head off a bat. One of them is that when he was doing a lot of cocaine, he had his, like, I think I want to say his father's ashes in an urn. And he took those out and he mixed them up with a big line of cocaine and snorted up his father's ashes.
Hmm.
Did you hear that one?
I didn't hear that one, but how do we know it was ashes? That's the thing, right? The skeptic in me says... What could you color any other, you know, like white powder gray with, for instance?
I imagine it would have to be something ashy of some kind, like...
Or it wouldn't have to be your father's ashes. It could have been just any old ashes dumped in the old cocaine bag.
Oh, and you could just say how hardcore you were in front of all your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And the urban legend would just run off. So we don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. Maybe.
And what if maybe it was a rubber bat? We don't know. Because think about how hard it would be to get a bat, first of all. You don't just walk around and grab bats.
No. No, you don't. You know what? Actually, I found out that bats are like, I was talking to someone who had an old house and they had bats in the house. And I think they're actually protected. Like you're not supposed to kill them at all because they have such a, they're basically, they breed like people. So it's very hard. Like a bat has like maybe one baby per year, a female bat, and they nurse them and everything like people do. And so a bat, if you have like 40 bats and they're all living together, and they're in your house, they would prefer that you let them leave so that they have to go and find somewhere to go instead of exterminating them because they eat so many mosquitoes. They're considered beneficial. Mm-hmm. So they are hard to get a hold of. And if you do get a hold of one, you could, I don't know, I think that's like, if you bit the head off a bat right now in this day and age, I think you'd probably be executed.
You could be.
You wouldn't be executed. You get in trouble, though. I think you might get in trouble, but... I don't know that don't do drugs, kids. You know, it's going to start with marijuana. It's going to start with, mushrooms. And then the next thing you know, you're crushing up bones, mixing them with whatever, eating electrical tape and biting the heads off bats. Does this really sound like a good, hunting albinos. Does this sound like a good Saturday afternoon? No, it doesn't. With your buddies watching Beavis and Butthead playing your metal, you're not going to have a good time. It's you know what, Tim, this is coming from someone who, I'm not even drinking Coors Light these days. I shouldn't say Coors Light. Can I say Coors Light? I'm not even drinking light beer these days. That's how sad.
You might get executed if you say Coors Light.
And uncool I am right now. I haven't had a light beer in weeks. This is maybe why I'm a little, I can tell. Can you sense I'm a little wound tight here? I'm a little wound tight.
You just need to stop and pick up some kombucha and you'll be good.
I tried that one time and the organism living in the bottom of the fucking jar or whatever I was drinking out of really bothered me. And then it had this like vinegary taste. And I know deep down that this is good for my gut health and my microbiome, but no amount of vinegar going in my mouth is going to make me give a shit about any of that. Mm. So I had one bottle and I will never have another one again. It said it tasted like blueberries. I don't know where they got that from. It kind of had like a color of blueberries. Well, but
so you got to be discriminating, right? There's all kinds of kombucha knockoff type garbage out there that's full of sweetener and everything else.
Really?
Yeah. There's quite, you know, it's just like anything else. You can get your cheap beer, you can get your Coors Light, and or you can get a real beer.
So because you and I are such fucking rebels, next, you're close to me now, so I can... Within reason, I could drive out to see you on a weekend, and we're going to do shots of kombucha.
Well, we should do
like
it.
Like a pair of wild men. You know, you remember when the hippies just used to do the drugs? And now it's like, if you're a hippie, you just do the kombucha.
Yeah.
And they hike now. Like, I'm kind of disappointed in hippies. Like, they hike, they eat healthy, they eat granola, and they don't have orgies. I don't know what's wrong with hippies. They should be doing all this stuff. And now whenever I talk to a hippie, I just get disappointed because it was all these things that was supposed to be hippies. They're not even, you can't even put dirty in front of hippies now because they're cleaner living than all of us.
Well, who is doing the orgies? I don't think hardly anybody's doing orgies anymore.
Really? I don't even want to do the orgies. I just like knowing that there's people out there doing it.
No, I'm not saying I want to do the orgies either. I just... It used to be a thing you'd hear about happening, right? And now it's you don't hear much about it. I think
people the electrical tape.
Yeah, people are getting too lazy to have orgies. It would like they'd have to organize stuff, and they'd have to get together for they'd have to have meetings and things about how to have the orgies. They don't. Nobody even goes to the bar anymore, let alone to an orgy.
Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you, there's a bar down the street from my house, and that shit is loaded up every Saturday. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but you live in a certain kind of place, which, with a cool lake beside it.
Yeah, this is a cool, people go to the bar here. They get tuned up, and I might have been one of them. It's actually a pretty fun place. I always tell people it's missing. The only thing it's missing is like 60 feet of chain link fence.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be very similar to where Wolverine was fighting that dude in X-Men 1.
Okay,
you know where they find him? It's like that. It's pretty fucking wild. Like, I like going there. But I don't want to, like, this is the thing. I don't want to do this stuff myself. Like I said, I'm a clean living guy these days. I drink the light beer, which I stopped doing. I don't know why. I just stopped doing it. I miss it. I do, but I don't. And now I just like to know that everyone's out there eating electrical tape, snorting the alcohol swabs. I like knowing that these guys are still out there. The old school thrill chasers. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I live vicariously through them. I don't want to do it. I messed up enough. But if you're doing this stuff, we want to hear from you. I want to know why you're doing it, what it does for you, how it's affected your life.
Yeah, if you're having some sort of furry orgies, you know, get a hold of us. Let us know.
Oh, God. We got to hear about that. I don't know if I'm... I don't know how much of that I could take. It's like that's like Harry Potter fan fiction or something. I don't know if I can read that shit. But speaking of reading, are you doing any reading, Tim? Are you watching anything cool?
Well, I'm watching some things. I'm always reading something, but nothing really, you know, life-changing or anything like that. Lately, quite a few different things. I guess Argyle was a show that I watched. I think it was on Apple TV. Have you heard of that show?
I have,
it's a spy thriller type show. That was okay. I mean, as most spy movies, quite realistic and totally true to life. So, have you seen that one?
And I have not. I do know that it is Sam Rockwell and Bryce Dallas Howard. And okay, funny story. My wife had a dream about Sam Rockwell the other night. And that's really all I can say about it because it's so, the rest of it is so bizarre. She would kill me if I told you the whole story. But it was a Sam, who dreams? Here's the thing. Like knowing that there's people out there eating electrical tape, I really get a good laugh knowing that my wife wasted a dream on Sam Rockwell. Mm. Now I like Sam Rockwell.
Instead of Henry Cavill, who was also in that movie.
Well, that's right. Like you think if you're going to have a dream, you're going to have a dream about, you know, some famous movie star coming into your life in some wild way. Maybe it would be someone more classically dreamy. But, you know, thank God my wife has set a low bar and she dreams of Sam Rockwell because I can hit that. I think I'm good to hit that. So as long as I hit that Sam Rockwell level of cool, I think I'm okay with my lady. So I have not seen Argyle yet, though. But now that there's been a Sam Rockwell dream, I think it's a sign. Maybe we need to watch it together.
So other people that are in this show, Dua Lipa, I think that's how you say her name. She's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Cena.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a supporting actor in this. He's been in a lot of things lately.
Mm. I just watched a movie with him where he was Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah, Ricky Stenicki. That was okay. I didn't mind that movie.
It was okay. It was a little bit of fun. I got a couple laughs.
Just saying the name over and over again, you know, a bit of fun.
Well, yeah, Ricky Stenicki. After I watched that movie, I looked it up and it had been kind of like sitting in limbo for like several years. And at one point, Jim Carrey was going to be Ricky Stenicki and they had all these other people that were playing him and it just wound up getting put out in the world in that fashion. But it was like sticking around since the 90s, I think. Mm-hmm. And they didn't make it until now. Kind of a weird thing. So you're on a comedy kick.
Dream Scenario. That's not really a comedy. Have you seen that one?
Now, what's Dream Scenario? I have not.
That's the Nicolas Cage movie where at the beginning of the movie, he's just a boring professor, like a real kind of a nerdy. I can't remember what he was talking about. It was the genetics, I think. But anyway, so he's a professor at a university and he's like the ultimate boring person. And then everybody starts seeing him in their dreams and he's just like a background character in everybody's dream. But all the dreams are kind of negative. And then it turns out that everybody on Earth or a lot of like, I don't know, like 40% of the people on Earth are dreaming about him. It's a pretty, you should watch that movie. It gets kind of twisted, of course.
Ah, well, I don't mind twisted. If you've been listening to the conversation so far, you might have...
If you want to see an unconventional and very uncomfortable to watch movie, that's it. Like the actor puts himself in a position where he's very unlikable. And it's just like, if there's anything that's cringeworthy, it's the way that character in that movie is acting. So it's kind of a masterpiece of acting cringeworthy, if that makes any sense.
Well,
and for that reason alone, it's worth watching.
I like a good cringe fest. There was a guy who told me about this movie called The Gentleman Broncos. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
It's super cringe humor. Like, it's the cringiest of cringe humor. I think it'd be right up your alley, but maybe we'll have to do a Gentleman Broncos
I'll just say one episode. More thing about that movie with that dream scenario movie. The jizz fart scene. There's no way you'd even describe that. So
I think you nailed it by jizz. Like, I have just those two words put together. I have so many images racing through my mind.
Maybe I oversold you know, it, but.
I've been watching, so I got a couple of, I broke my superhero show moratorium, mm-hmm. and I did start watching the X-Men 97 cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I watched two episodes so far.
Were you an X-Men cartoon fan back in the, when was that, the 90s?
I loved the original. It was pretty cheesy, but at the time I was watching it with one of my kids. So, you know, at the time it made sense to be watching it. And then I kind of got hooked on it more than my kid was. So the original.
Yeah. It picks up right where the other one left off. The animation is more or less the same style, a little bit more advanced in some respects, but the story's pretty killer. And a lot of people there was a run up to it where a lot of people were thinking it was going to suck for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And, it defied everyone's expectations, and mine included. And I'm really liking it. I've kept up with all the episodes so far, and I like where they're going, and I like what they're doing. You got some cool characters brought in, if you're familiar with the X-Men lore and mythology, I guess I want to say. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's kind of a nice throwback. It doesn't cheapen anything that was there before it. It kind of nicely adds to it and augments it. I really like it, so I'm pleasantly surprised, and that'll lead into the other show. You and I are both watching the same show. So now, I guess I want to say we've seen some pretty bad video game adaptations in our day, movies, TV shows, and there's been maybe a spotty few of good ones. But you're watching Fallout, and I'm watching Fallout, and damn, it's pretty good so far.
Yeah, I'm really appreciating Fallout.
Now, are you a gamer? Did you play any of the games at all?
Watch the kids play this game. And I've been in, what do you call it? An escape room. A Fallout escape room once.
Oh.
So I'm slightly familiar with it. And
do they dress you up in the blue room, suits?
Nope. But in the escape room, you start out in that particular one anyways. You were in a vault, and things are going mm-hmm. south, and you had to get the equipment working again, or you were going to die within an hour, right? We died. The four of us couldn't figure it out in time. So it was a pretty hard, difficulty. It was a difficult room for us. I think it was a medium level room, but it defeated us.
How many of those have you done? I think Fallout would be a pretty amazing escape room concept, but have you done those before?
Done three. So
and
we should do an escape room.
Well, I'm going to hold off on that, Tim, because we did an escape room in a box, you know, when you couldn't go out to escape rooms during COVID. And all it did was make me feel really stupid. And
well, the trick is to take dumber people than you there.
Hopefully no one I know listens to this, because if they're like suddenly invited to an escape room with me, they're going to know that I'm.
So the first one I went to, the unsung hero was one of our friends. She was so good at it, and you would never guess. You know, she's a farmer girl, and she's the quiet one of the group, but she had the most good ideas about how to solve the puzzles. And without her, we would have definitely died. That was a night at Sleepy Hollow, I think it was called. And it was pretty scary.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was some good jump scares in that one. It was worth it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'd be the dumb guy. So I don't know. You can invite me to one, and I don't mind, Tim. You could just come out and say it. I have no feelings. So if you want to invite me, you just did. So I think you just gave up your own game.
I probably do poorer at it than you. So just because.
Well, I'm going to go with about I'm the pressure lean into of this.
It,
right?
There's something about the pressure of it that makes the person freeze up. It's just like doing tests, you know. It doesn't work out like you think it's going to. So anyways, I'll back on to Fallout. Just forget about the fact that I mentioned inviting you to an escape room. And
I don't know if I can. I feel bad now. I'm your dumb friend. No, I'm okay.
So anyways, the ghouls on Fallout. That is one of the most interesting things so far, in my opinion.
I don't want to spoil anything. I'm a few episodes in right now, and I don't think saying ghouls is really anything spoilery. So I'm not going to spoil any plot points or anything. But my two kids are Fallout heads. Like, they are nuts about this stuff, and it's got the big thumbs up seal of approval from them. And
They haven't really talked kind about the thumbs up thing.
Yeah.
Except for in the very first episode, a little bit.
Right. Yeah, they did. Yeah. They mentioned it at the beginning. Yeah. And my kids explained that to me when they were playing the game and what it meant and all that stuff. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of, without going into the details, the things I like about it is it's got like a really nice mix of humor. It's kind of silly. It's kind of serious. It's got a great setting, and it's got really interesting characters that all have their own kind of little stories and stuff. And, you know, they have foibles, they go through stuff. Everyone's just kind of like lost in this wasteland. It's fun to watch. Like, it's really good, well put together TV. Mm-hmm.
It has so many things out of the game that you can tell are parts of the game too, right? Even if we're not heavy gamers on this.
Yeah, I think when they make these shows, you know, you used to think like, you think about Mario Brothers and how popular Mario Brothers was when you and I were even younger. And then it was so popular that they were like, holy shit, we need to make a Mario Brothers movie. And they did. And I don't know if you remember that movie, but it fucking looked nothing like Mario Brothers.
Oh, it was kind of fun, but it was nothing like it.
Yeah. It was just, if you were a gamer, you would go into that GUI and like, what the hell is this? This is nothing like Mario Brothers. This is a piece of shit. But, you know, now they made a cartoon Mario Brothers and everyone went to see it. It was a huge smash hit. I think it was like the biggest movie. No, besides Barbie last year was a huge hit movie. And I think it really kind of says something where when you have so many people who are fans of something and you're giving them a different version of that, if you can't make it look like the thing that they like, you're really kind of doing a disservice. I don't think you should do it. And it's kind of nice to see because I don't really typically like video game adaptations. But this one kind of breaks the mold. I think this one and The Last of Us kind of break the mold of that. And that speaks to how good the stories are of the video games, because I don't think this is an exact remake of, any sort of story that you've seen in the Fallout video game. But I think they did such a good job in making that game that you could set different stories of different kind of, how would you say it, different media. Like you could do a TV show, you could probably do a movie if you wanted, you could write a book and set it in that universe and people would recognize it.
So now maybe I have the wrong game, but I suspect that because of the success of this one, we're going to see a pivot from superhero movies straight into all kinds of video game movies or TV shows. I just feel it coming.
You might. I mean, there's
a lot of them out there. There's going to be a Call of Duty. It's going to skyrocket into a pile of things because that's how they think, right? They look around to see what was successful and then they copy it.
I was just reading today that, you know, Barbie was a smash hit. So they're doing a Margot Robbie led Monopoly movie. Polly Pocket is in the works. So, I mean, they do, whether or not those are all successful or whatever, that remains to be seen, but good on them for trying. I mean, if they could, you know, I think at the end of the day, people just kind of want to watch something that's original and or mostly original and fun.
If they make a Dead Space, I think it's Dead Space. That's a video game, which I know very little about, but I feel like I would watch that movie or TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be interesting. I know my friend had played that game and he could only play it for 40 minute bursts of time because he got too scared. And that's not saying he's a weenie or anything like that. It's just a scary game. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a real opportunity here, and there always has been. It's just kind of who's doing it and how they kind of unlock telling that story to people. But I think fundamentally, if the people who have played the games can't recognize what they're seeing in the other forms of media, that's a big loss. And I think if you don't capture that crowd, if you don't capture the fans of that thing that you're adapting, you're really not doing any sort of favors for the thing. And that's where Fallout really succeeds, because I've seen the game played. I've played a little of it myself, and instantly looking at that TV show, I was like, wow, that's Fallout. From the look of the soldier guys, the big knight guys, to the suits that they wear in the vault, to just the shit that they pick up along the way, and some of the settings even, you're just right. You're just right in there. So they did a great job. I'm not all the way through it yet. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a lot of fun so far. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. You know what? One of the things I think I like about it is that there's consequences.
Yeah. And
not only that, but no one's saving the world. You know, the world's already done. They can't save it. It's not about, oh my God, we gotta defeat the bad guy or he's going to blow up the world. I'm so done with that line. So the world's already, nobody's saving the world here. and there's personal, like really fatally dangerous consequences. So,
yeah, you're right. It's kind of nice to have something that's just got realistic stakes. Like, you know, whatever happened to a movie where a guy has to get across town or his girlfriend's going to dump him, right? And everything crazy happens to him along the way. There used to be movies
wasn't
like
that
this.
Called Blind Date?
Blind Date. Something like that, where it's just like this poor bastard just has to go through this gauntlet just to get to the lady that he likes or something like that. Just or anything like that, where it's just like something small. Like you can make a good story out of something small. Like you said, it doesn't have to be like, you know, an asteroid is going to destroy the Earth every time or there's a blue light in the sky. It's really refreshing to see. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. I guess dystopian future movies. I went to see this new movie called Civil War, Tim. Have you heard of this?
I just heard a little bit about it. I don't know anything about it, really.
I like the movie, and I guess it's worth talking about a little bit. It's really a downer, though. It kind of takes place, I want to say, the near future. And I like near future movies. I don't know if you've explored the near future genre, but we kind of talked about it, I guess, before on the show, where things like Strange Days. Do you remember the movie Strange Days?
Yes.
Something like that, where, you know, it's a little bit not too far in the future, but just like maybe a couple years from now. And shit's gone south, and usually there's like some sort of social aspect baked into it. Like with Strange Days, it was, you know, you could kind of trace it back to, say, the Rodney King beating in Los Angeles there and the aftermath of that, and it was kind of time. This one's really tied into, like, for better or worse, it's kind of tied into, like, this idea right now that, you know, America could pop into a civil war at any time sort of thing. And what would that look like? Now, I thought the interesting thing about the movie was that maybe you're going to see this movie and politically you think one way or politically you think the other way. And if you were going into this movie and you were taking that kind of baggage in with you, you would be disappointed because the movie doesn't play that game. It's just from a point of view of, say, photojournalists who are just going in there impartially just to record what's going on. And you don't really know who's fighting who. Or why they're even fighting. You get little glimpses of that here and there. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty effective anti-war movie. I mean, all the shit you're seeing is pretty horrible. And I think it's more or less like a kind of a guy making a movie to say, is this what you guys really want? Do you guys want to do this? Because this is what it looks like sort of thing. So it was an interesting movie. Great. I don't want to say great ending. It's got a really interesting ending. And I recommend this. Like, if you have a chance to go see it in a movie theater, it's got absolutely, I'm going to describe it as pants shitting scenes. Like, the main characters, none of them are armed with anything. If they're shooting anything, it's just cameras. They're shooting pictures, so they're not armed. They're going into all these war zones or whatever, and you get enough information about them that you kind of care what they're doing, but you don't know so much about them that you don't have a whole lot of time to get to know their whole lives. But you just kind of. You know, you get enough to know that they're people and you get enough to know that you like them. And some of the situations that they get into are pretty hairy. And there's some tense scenes where, you know, they're in all kinds of trouble and stuff like that. But it's a good movie. If you want to feel good that day, don't go see this. But if you want to just dwell in misery a bit, you could snort some bones or go see this movie. Or snort some bones and go see this movie. I mean, whatever you're into, whatever floats your boat.
Nothing would say happiness like snorting some bones, right?
Yeah, and go and watch
maybe
a really
right outside the
movie.
Cemetery. Maybe right outside the cemetery.
Well, I mean, the way things are going these days, I don't even know if anyone bat an eye. What are you doing, sir? Oh, I'm snorting my dad's bones. All right, don't hurt anybody, okay?
As long as it's only your relative's bones, yeah.
Yeah. Don't be here when I get back, Mr. Osborne, okay?
If you identify as a bone snorter.
Yeah, you could. I breathe bones. I identify as someone who breathes bone dust, and I am now a bone huffer. Well, I don't know. That's you just never know. But yeah, that was my weekend. I went and saw this incredibly it's hard to tell that I like this movie. I did like the movie. I liked it a lot. I can't stop thinking about it. Actually, I might go see it a second time, but super duper not a feel good movie. So if you want that. If you like that, if you can handle that, just go to it. It'll be good.
So what else is coming up for movies?
Well, you know, I was thinking that there wasn't a whole lot to watch this year. But then when I went and I was sitting in the movie, there were some trailers that were playing. And I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of excited to see that. And one of them was The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Right.
It looks fun. And it looked fun enough that my wife, you know, was watching the trailer. Of course, she was disappointed that Sam Rockwell wasn't in it, but she does want to go see that movie.
Well, so it's how could it be as good as the original Fall Guy?
I don't know. I remember watching that show when I was very young. And actually, I was describing this show. I was talking about it to someone the other day at work. A little water cooler discussion, right? And I was talking about it, and I was sure that in the show he was driving around a brown Ford Bronco. And the person I was talking to was like, no, it was not a Bronco. It was like a GMC truck.
That's right. Like, it definitely had a box on it because they were sometimes riding in it.
Yeah. And then I had to go back and I watched the opening credit scene, and sure as shit, I was not a Bronco. I was way out to lunch. Because I was sure that my uncle had bought this brown Bronco because he liked the Fall Guy show and he wanted to be the Fall Guy. But he did not.
No, it was a Chev advertisement or GMC. Not sure which.
It was for sure. But I just remember thinking that it would be really cool to smash up all these cars when I was young. Like, I just liked the mayhem and destruction. And anything that had smashing, I wanted it. If you could smash a car, I wanted to see it. And the Fall Guy was like number one for cool car smash ups when I was a kid. So I don't know. That one I want to go see. There was the new Planet of the Apes movie. I'm a Planet of the Apes, you know, I'm an ape head. I love that shit. So I'm probably going to go see that one. And Joker, there's a new, I don't know if you liked the first Joker, but there was a trailer that came out for that got everybody pretty excited. And I think it looks pretty cool.
You know, we're missing. So, hard sci-fi that? Movies.
There is another Alien movie coming out this year. I don't know if saw that.
That's more like soft sci-fi, isn't it?
You think so? It's kind of ambiguous, almost, I'd say.
Yeah. It's more like horror sci-fi.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at the first Alien movie there, it's kind of grounded in something. You could almost believe it. Like, they're not doing light speed or anything like that. They're out on this slow-moving, basically like a cargo ship full of shit, and they got to get their mining stuff and get it back. I mean,
if it's anything really like Prometheus, it's fantasy horror sci-fi.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify it as that hardcore sci-fi, the hard sci-fi like stuff, like very
Martian,
realistic.
The Martian would be one of the best examples of actual hard sci-fi, which we don't have any of.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there is something like that coming out. I don't know. I haven't really been up on my sci-fi, but just off the top of my head, those are the ones that I'm thinking of that I really want to see so far. There is so I'm a big Francis Ford Coppola nut, and there is a Francis Ford Coppola movie that he's just filmed, but he paid for it himself. And if you know anything about Francis Ford Coppola, he's notorious for doing this. So he's 80-some years old. He wanted to make another movie that he's wanted to make since the mid-90s, but he couldn't because stuff happened that was too real to the movie. So enough time has passed between that he got to make this movie. So right now he's trying to shop it around and get distribution for it. And this movie is called Megalopolis. So this is probably, for me, I'm going to say it's my next biggest. It's the one I'm most excited to see. Hopefully it's good. And hopefully it even just finds its way to market. I hope it does, but it needs to find someone. So if you have $100 million kicking around, can you please find Francis Ford Coppola? And that's what he's asking. Like something around $100 million. Just the movie's already done. He just needs money to distribute and advertise it. So anyone out there, $100 million, you'd be my hero.
You'd think if he went that far, he could just finish it off.
I have a feeling like, I know he sold his winery. Like, he had a winery in, where is it? Not Napa. What's the other one down there? He has a winery, or he did. And I think he sold it off, or the majority ownership of it is now sold off. So,
okay.
But you know, he's in his 80s. His wife actually just passed away last week. So I don't know. Well, hopefully it just finds its way out there, because he's done some good stuff. And for me, it's, you know, it could be his swan song. And I'm just interested in anything he makes. He's just that good. So that's it. That's all I got for movies for me coming up. Are you particularly excited about anything TV-wise, movie-wise?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm kind of excited about the Deadpool thing, but then at the same time, I'm afraid that they're just going to flog it so much that I'm going to be sick of hearing about it. If we, the pre-build to all these things like that is just too long. We don't need to know about it a year ahead of time. Just my thoughts.
I have some feelings about this. Now, I like Deadpool. I've liked the last two movies, and I love Wolverine. But I find Ryan Reynolds hard to take. And not that he's not funny. I think he's a funny guy, and I love him as Deadpool. But he's out there so much, like you said, flogging, like Relentless Reynolds. Ryan Relentless Reynolds, that should be his name. Like, the fucking Ryan Reynolds stuff just never stops. He's always there. Like, yeah. Sometimes I leave my house and I search around my car to see if he's going to pop out from underneath and tell me about his movie or his gym. That's how much he's out there. It hasn't happened yet, but I fucking know that it will one day, and I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it.
Just reminds me of in the Philip K. Dick books, the hero or anti-hero, depending on the book, would come out of his house and there would be some sort of a solicitor robot hanging outside, and he would have to pay it to make it to go away and stop blaring advertisements at him. Or
holy shit.
Or alternatively, if he owed a bill to somebody, this thing would just follow him around chanting his bills out loud and how much he owed them. So,
oh, you yeah. know that's going to happen one day. You're going to get followed by some shame bot. Yeah.
In the voice of Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to find a way to make it look like an ex-girlfriend, too.
I think in the one Philip K. Dick book, he had to actually pay his doorknob in order to let him out of the house. It was a few dimes or something like that, because back then that would have been, you know. But, because he owed money, they were garnishing his entries and exits to his own apartment.
Oh, my God. That guy's a you know what? This is the stuff they talk about now. You know, if you know a conspiracy theorist in your life, they say this stuff. And Philip K. Dick thought it up first.
Thought it up and wrote about it.
Oh, dear God. That's probably where they got all the ideas for it. They were like, they were just like, guys, I'm going to tell you here. If you want to know how to control the populace, we just got to crack open some dick.
Yeah. Lay down the dick.
Whoa, sir. Hold on. And he was like, no, Philip K. Dick, we're going to lay down the dick. And we're just going to have a dick session. Mm-hmm. And that's all we need is a good dick session. And we'll figure out how to really fuck people over.
How to twist the reality of everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. You won't even know what reality is after we dick you.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The government's just dicking around with the public.
Man, we really covered the bases on this one, Tim.
Yeah. It must be almost time. Almost time to call it.
I feel cleansed after this conversation. You know, like, I feel like I've had a soul douche. We really let it all out. We got a couple things coming up, I guess. You know, I'm gonna talk about what we got. We started up our website, and then you know, we talked about all these promises, and because you work 12 hours a day and I'm a lazy bastard, I haven't worked on any of this stuff. So, but I'll tell you something. I do have t-shirts designed, and I do have them hooked up on a website where you can make them and print them to order. And they are fantastic looking. And I could see them at all kinds of weird job sites all over, you know, wherever you find your tradespeople. So the only thing I don't know is how to connect that website to our website and have it go off without a hitch. And the other thing I need to do is we need to get this podcast on YouTube. So I'm going to make a pledge here that by the end of the week, I will have a YouTube page put up. There might not be anything on there. There might be dick.
Well, you know, we can always just hire Christy to get the websites hooked up.
Oh, Christy, let me tell you, it might have to happen. We might have to augment some Christy augmentation of our website. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Why do we do this stuff when there's Christy?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, let's just do it.
This is why you invited me to the escape room, Tim. Son of a bitch. I'm accepting my fate here. I'm the dumb friend. Fuck. Well, even though you've revealed your hand, Tim, I still like you. You know, I'm too dumb to know any better.
All you got to be is the dumber friend, not the dumb friend.
Well, I am the dumber friend. That's what's killing me. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna introduce myself as that. I'm, you know, if we're in a group setting. Hello, I'm Ryan, Tim's dumb friend. Let's go to an escape room.
Now we're going to go to an escape room. We're going to have to go to an escape room, and we'll report on that, and probably it'll turn out exactly opposite of how you think. It totally depends on the genre of the escape room, because you might know way more about it than I do, right?
Maybe. I'm just here looking for the Coors Light, man. I'm just dying for one. Anyhow, well, okay, I should then. Let you go. You're a busy guy, and you got to get to sleep, Tim, but as always, it's been a slice.
Yeah. It's been a slice.
All righty. Have a great night.
The snorting of your father's ashes. Which true. It is true. Mm. You did, in fact, do it.
I ingested my ancestor, yes.